Success Mat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We have Randy Johnson on today's show. Very much looking forward to getting caught up with RJ. It's been a while since we've been able to visit. I've seen him at some functions, and we've talked casually out at spring training, but they're naming a street after him tomorrow, and I don't really know how that's going to go over with Randy. I'm sure he'll have fun with it in post-baseball. Of course, he went through the Hall of Fame last summer, and I hear he's going to actually be shooting a Billy Joel concert in the next few weeks, so I want to talk to him about that and much, much more with the Hall of Famer Randy Johnson. That comes up just after 10:30. Pedro Gomez, our ESPN Baseball Insider, our weekly segment, the suddenly streaking Diamondbacks, the Steven Strasburg contract, and how does this affect the dominoes of baseball. So we get into that with Pedro. So we have a lot of baseball stuff to get to. There's some really interesting stories that aren't page one stories today, or stories that are being talked about today on the top of the food chain. We always like to look around and find things that are a little different. There's a high school in Texas that has approved a $220 million bond to build a stadium. Just imagine that. A stadium for a high school football team being approved. Voters said, we are in on this. We want it. $220 million, of course. So could this happen here in Arizona? Forget about the bond side for a minute. Just, is there going to be a time? Because all it takes is one crazy booster. All it takes is one dad to say, I can do this whole project and stick my name on it. So this story is starting to percolate nationally this morning. I'm taking it right here to Arizona. Dwight Howard was on with Charles last night and Kenny Smith. And by the way, I don't know, Eric, did you see any of that interview last night with Charles?
I did not. I saw the game. I did not see the interview.
There was a moment in the interview with Dwight Howard where he got real, and Charles really dug into him last night. Kenny Smith leaves that show because Kenny Smith's name has come up for the Houston Rockets
job. That's right. He is interviewed.
Yeah. I mean, if Kenny Smith takes that job, it only makes sense. It's like through the years when we've talked with Charles about whether he's going to leave or not. You know, he talks about the governor and all that stuff, which is just fun. Running the Suns, he's run that one up and down the food chain a few times. But don't you think that if you're TNT, the replacement for Kenny Smith, it's almost like talking about Sean McDonough replacing Mike Tirico. I get it, it's Monday Night Football, but that's one of those positions where that show has been going on for so long inside the NBA. That's been going on for, and it's a great show.
It is a great show.
It's a great show. It's what everything is that we should do. You see them have fun. There's stuff on the fly. This is not brain surgery. You don't need to sit there and bang everybody over the head every day. At times, you do just talk about what's going on in your life, and people kind of like that.
And the four personalities on that show play off each other so well. You know, you have Ernie Johnson, who's the ringleader, and then three former players, two of which are NBA icons, and Shaq and Barkley. So it just all blends together.
But don't you need an icon? If Kenny Smith leaves, don't you need an icon to go to replace him? And so I'm getting at Kobe being available. So that's where I'm going with this. If you're to look around and see who are the names that are out there, I mean, could Reggie Miller transition into studio? I think Reggie Miller's really good. Some people don't. Some don't think he's critical enough. Like Chris Webber last week shined when he was going crazy on the end of the San Antonio-Oklahoma City game. I'd rather have Chris out at a game, at an arena, rather than have him in a studio. Some people are meant to be at games. Some people are meant to be in studio. Could I see Kobe Bryant being at a Portland Golden State playoff game? Yeah, I guess, but I'd much rather hear what he thinks for a good 3-4 minutes with other Hall of Famers sitting there. And Kenny Smith's not a Hall of Famer.
How about Grant Hill?
Grant, to me, feels like he has crossed over into the mainstream by doing the NBA inside stuff story. Mm-hmm. Grant's one of those guys that will show up, and this is not a criticism of him. Grant's been very cognizant of his post-career. And so he has that marquee slot sitting there with Jim Nance and Bill Raftery at the Final Four. That's fine. He's into that. But when he does the NBA inside stuff, he's trying to appeal to moms and he's trying to appeal to kids. That means he's looking to be way beyond Joe Sixpack, who's sitting there with their buds at BWW watching games, right? So you have to be a little bit more critical if you're going to sit in that chair at games. That's just me, rather than being in studio. So we're going to have some of that in today's show. The Raiders are really serious about moving to Las Vegas. The mayor has come out of this, Carolyn Goldman. And if the Raiders were to move to Vegas, what type of game changer would that be for the entire National Football League? Because, again, this is a league that is all about let's see if we can have more world domination and more world domination and more financial domination. And if you're, Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, has talked about having betting platforms set up as you walk into the arena like they do overseas, where you could actually lay a bob down on the Suns playing the Clippers as you walk into the arena. That's where he wants to go with this. He was not opposed to DraftKings and the whole fantasy basketball thing where there's big money at stake there. If the NFL decides to go into Las Vegas, who's going to follow suit and how quick are they going to follow suit?
And the Raiders insist, Brad, that they are not using Las Vegas as a pawn to try to get a new stadium in California. Right. They really want to consider leaving to go to Las Vegas.
Okay.
We'll see.
The Cardinals are going to put Roy Green into their Ring of Honor, which is fine. They're going to announce that this afternoon. I think that's a well-deserved. If you're thinking of the great Arizona Cardinal wide receivers, if we're just talking about the great wide receivers of the Cardinals, if you don't put Roy Green into that discussion and understand that he was a two-way player, and this was before internet age, and this is before big TV deals, and this is before the Cardinals were a factor in terms of a franchise. They were just a franchise baking to death over at Sun Devil Stadium back in the day and when he was in St. Louis. So, you know, you look at Roy Green, and to me, because I remember him when I was a kid, and I've watched films and all that stuff, and you look at just his accomplishments, this would be hard-fetched for people that are under the age of probably 45 to accept. Roy Green has had just as good a career in some respects, if you consider him playing both ways, as Larry Fitzgerald. Now, the numbers won't say that. The numbers will clearly show, and you'll say, well, that's impossible. Nobody's had as good. If you're talking about great receivers, I'm not going to put Roy ahead of Larry, but I'm going to put him alongside of him in the Cardinals' pantheon of great receivers. You'd have to put Anquan Boldin into that mix, too. If you're talking about all-time great receivers, you know, if Anquan's not in the discussion, then you're just flat missing the point. If Roy Green's not in the discussion, I think you're flat missing it. And Fitz obviously has to be at the top of the list. But Roy, this was at a time where, and he was fast, man. He could fly. So that story caught my eye. The playoffs last night, if you look at Russell Westbrook and you see just how good he played last night and in this series, the unselfishness of Westbrook. You know, there's some people that have said Westbrook's all about Westbrook. I just disagree with that vehemently. I've always disagreed with that. When he was at UCLA, you looked at him and it's like, this is a really talented kid. And now he's come into his own and he's been in the league and he's grown into the league and he's matured. Would I rather have Russell Westbrook than James Harden? If I'm OKC, if you think back on that? Yeah, I'd rather have Russell Westbrook than James Harden. James's defense has been non-existent. It's just a fact. So that caught my eye that way that he played last night. Oklahoma City's roster is really good. And San Antonio, it looks to me, not looks, I think to everybody, you see that Tim Duncan is not the player that he once was. You admire him, you watch him, it's just like Steve Nash at the end. It's really hard to watch great players at the end of their career when maybe they've stuck around a little too long. I'm not saying Tim Duncan should be out of here, but the best player on that team is Kawhi Leonard, who finished runner-up in the MVP voting behind Steph Curry. And oh, by the way, Larry Bird traded him. Hey, he traded him for, who was it, Eric? We were talking the other day.
George Hill.
George Hill for the rights to Kawhi Leonard.
That's right.
So the next time people want to talk about how Larry Bird is a great general manager, they all screw up.
Yeah, it sounded like a good trade at the time.
At the time, sure. And the Diamondbacks have won five straight. So we have a lot of baseball that, obviously, we're baseball heavy today with Pedro next, and then Randy Johnson, some other things on my mind as well as we get through the show today. Sports360AZ.com, that is our website. Our TV show is Brad Sussmat Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona. It airs tonight before and after. Actually, it's a day game for the Diamondbacks. Before and after the game. So there you go. We'll have that four airings tonight. Pedro Gomez is next. Stay with us.
Hey,
It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sesmat.
Weekly conversation with Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst and insider. Just off his weekend in Chicago, so are the and they saw the Nats and Cubs. Are the Cubs going to win the World Series? We just end the season now. It's May 11th. You've seen them for four games. Everybody's riding that it's theirs to lose. Pedro, are you in that boat?
They're going to win world domination, I think. They're going to take over the entire globe within the next month. They are hitting on every single cylinder right now, Brad. It doesn't matter. You know, there's stretches when a club, no matter what it does, things are falling in its direction. And that's exactly what's happening right now. Ryan Kalish gets called up and comes in to pinch hit and hits a little flare over the third baseman that the shortstop dives for in shallow left field and just barely misses. Mm. Addison Russell hits a bloop fly down the right field line behind the first base that Bryce Harper's running in, but it's going to land right where the wall, the chalk, and, you know, the Raging Bull, Bryce Harper, are all convening at the exact same time. So Harper has to kind of hit the brakes, and boom, it hits the chalk. Just, it doesn't matter what happens to the Cubs right now in this stretch. Things are going their way, and that's what happens to good teams when they're in a good stretch. They are not going to play this way the whole year. They're not going to win 130 games, which they're on pace for. But what you do is you build up a cushion so that when you do hit a rough patch, when you do lose, say, 10 of 14, you're still going to be in first place because you've built such a big cushion.
Well, it's kind of like the Diamondbacks having to dig themselves out of a hole because you never know when they're going to hit a rough patch, like, oh, I don't know, getting swept by the Marlins. And now they're figuring some things out. I've got Randy Johnson coming on in about 15 minutes, and I want to talk to him about Shelby Miller.
I saw that.
Yeah, I want to talk to him about Shelby and Greinke and you know, just what he's seeing. And I guess on your end, not to be repetitive and redundant of our weekly conversations, you have said pitching.
Yeah.
That said, do you feel like that they've started to hit it, or is it just it's the Braves on a weekend and it's Colorado and they're not very good
at
home?
I mean, they've definitely hit, you know, the worst team in baseball in the Braves, and they swept them, and they're hitting the Rockies who don't play well in Denver. But those are games you have to win.
Yeah,
and that's actually the positive part for the Diamondbacks right now, that they at least are beating teams that they have to beat, at least right now. They should have been doing this earlier, but hey, whatever. You know, I was talking to somebody in the front office the other day, and the one thing they said is, we have not played good baseball yet, and yet we're right there. We're not buried. We're not sunk like we were a couple of years ago after getting back from Australia in that horrible April. So that actually is a positive, the fact that they are, I think they're half a game out of first place right now, and they have not played good baseball yet. They played stretches of good baseball, but they have not been a consistently good team, and yet they're right there. So that bodes well. If Miller and Greinke can really start hitting on all cylinders, it can absolutely flush down the rest of the rotation. I was talking about this with Chris Bosio, the Cubs pitching coach. He is convinced that because Arrieta and Lester are doing so well, it has a trickle-down effect, where if you're Jason Hamill or Kyle Hendricks, you're going to go out there and say, I've got to hold up my end of the bargain. I've got to keep us in a game here so that we have a chance to win. And you look up right now, Jason Hamill has four wins. Kyle Hendricks off to a very good start. His ERA is very good. You know, Lester and Arrieta are doing their thing. Lackey's doing his thing. But it does have a trickle-down effect when the top of the rotation is doing well. The guys at 4 and 5, basically, they put pressure on themselves. And we saw this in 2001 when Randy and Schilling were here. And all of a sudden, Omar Dahl and Brian Anderson, they were pitching really well and good because, hey, you've got pressure. I don't want to be the weak link.
Do you think that this staff potentially could be better than the 2000-2001 team? I know that's a hard question to ask when Shelby's sitting here spinning around the drain, But if he gets it figured out, you see De La Rosa, since Pedro Martinez gave him a pep talk, I'm thinking. And Corbin has been, I think, very good in the middle. Do you think there's more here, potentially, Pedro, than the one team that won the World Series?
That's asking a lot. That was a veteran staff that had two of the all-time, you know, generational-type pitchers at 1 and 2. That's a little, maybe, bit of a stretch. But you don't have to have that kind of staff to win. Just take a look at last year's World Series champion. You know, you had Johnny Cueto and you had Edison Volquez.
Yeah,
you had
true.
Chris Young.
It's true.
You know, you didn't have Jeremy Guthrie. You didn't have the type of starters that were knock your socks off type guys. They had a great bullpen, so the starters weren't asked to do too much. But you know, they didn't have the type of staff that you say, wow, that's a staff that can win it all. So, you know, you don't have to have the New York Mets staff to win. It helps. There's no doubt it helps. And the Mets probably got there a lot quicker because of that young staff.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a solid ball club like the Royals do, you can win if you just have the starters just do enough to keep you in a game. And that's basically, you know, Yordano Ventura, those guys, that's what the Royals do. They just keep them in games, turn it over to the bullpen. You know, you've got Greinke, you've got Shelby Miller, who should be doing a lot better, obviously, and has in the past. But if those guys can start clicking, and if Corbin can click, like you said, De La Rosa has pitched very well in for a few weeks now. You know, you've got the potential to be good enough to contend.
Yeah.
And I think that's really all the Diamondbacks were looking for when they assembled this staff.
So Peralta has this wrist injury. And they've already lost Pollock, and Tomas has been up and down. And yet in all of this, here's Brandon Drury, who's turned out to be, I think, if there's a pleasant surprise 6 weeks into this season, and just nationally, I think he's turned out to be a pretty darn good story out here in little old Arizona. What do you make out of him? What are the Diamondbacks going to do with him? Because they're forcing Chip's hands being forced. He's got to play him.
Oh, that's you know, you talk to managers over the years, and when they get a player like that who has to be in the lineup every day, it's a great problem to have if you're a manager. It's a fantastic problem because the opposite is the worst, where you're trying to figure out, you know, what 8 guys you can put out there besides the pitcher. So Drury's going to find his way into the lineup really almost every day. And he's put himself in that position. And if you're someone who has been used to starting and all of a sudden you're not starting as much, well, hey, it's really easy to fix that. Start producing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a production game. It's a game about production. Whoever's producing is going to play. It doesn't matter if you were the first round pick or the 32nd round pick. If you're producing, you will play. And that's the good thing, the great thing about pro ball, that it doesn't matter. You know, it's all about winning. What gives us the best chance to win? And Drury has been a great story. It's a lot like Pollock a few years ago, where he kind of emerged and people were like, wow, who is this guy? So, you know, usually the clubs that win have a guy that just comes out of nowhere and it's, you know, he becomes a story and he becomes an everyday contributor. And that is not unusual to have. So that's a very, very good problem for Chip Hale to have right now.
Talking with Pedro Gomez, ESPN insider analyst and all things around the major leagues. Randy Johnson comes up in about 10 minutes. I want to switch over to Steven Strasburg. So this contract comes out. It is below, to me, it reads like it's way below what he could have gotten on the open market. And I bring it up because of what Greinke got out here. Were you surprised by the Strasburg news over the weekend and that contract?
I think everybody was there. I was in Washington when that came out on Monday. I was there for Monday Night Baseball. And it trickled out during the game. And I think a lot of people were shocked because really there was no idea that negotiations were even taking place. But you can tell, you know, he's a Scott Boras client.
Right.
So the fact that he signed before reaching free agency is a strong, strong indication that Strasburg ordered Boras, look, if I get this amount, go.
Mm-hmm.
Because Boras loves to take his clients to free agency because you maximize the dollars. There's no doubt about maximizing. When you get on an open market, there's more clubs bidding. In this particular case, though, you know, Strasburg has had a lot of injuries. He has not pitched. I think he's pitched over 180 innings only once in his career. There's risk on the Nationals' part, but they're the ones that know him better than anybody. They're the ones that drafted him. They know all his physical ailments. They know how he works. I will say this about Steven Strasburg. He is a workhorse in the terms of keeping himself in shape. So I don't think there's going to be any concern about him suddenly the work ethic diminishing. It's just a matter of him being able to stay healthy. Now, he does have a violent delivery, and there's a lot of people that believe that's been behind some of his injuries because it is so violent. You know, he's got the inverted W when he stretches out, and he's it's not a fluid motion, but boy, he when he's on, like he is right now, these first 6 weeks of the season, 5 weeks, he has demonstrated that he's one of the top 10 or 15 pitchers in the game. And this is a ball club that let Jordan Zimmermann leave, and you know, they're based on pitching for the most part. When you look at that rotation, they go five deep, and that's how they want to be known. And hey, Strasburg's one of the underpinnings of that rotation.
What's Harper going to get, Pedro, on the open market?
Oh God!
I mean, because if Strasburg settles,
domination.
Right? No, I mean, if Strasburg settles for 150, I get it. It's a pitcher, and it's apples and oranges position player, or is it in this case? If you're Washington, it's going to be north of 200, right? 250.
Oh, I think it's going to be north of 300.
$100 million.
You know, you're talking about a few years still until he's in free agency.
And he'll be a Yankee,
he's
right?
You know, that's what everybody in baseball believes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That swing is made for that short porch in right field at Yankee Stadium. They're the brightest lights in the game at Yankee Stadium when the Yankees are good. And he would be the king of the sport. If he's not already, but in New York, you really would be the king of the sport. And, you know, I've talked to front office people who believe it could be anywhere between 300 and 400 million. And that's not out of the realm of possibility, especially when you consider that the Yankees have a lot of expiring contracts between now and 2 years from now when Harper hits free agency, because Teixeira will be gone, CC Sabathia will be gone, Carlos Beltran will be gone. McCann, the catcher, will be gone.
McCann,
Alex
yeah.
Rodriguez's contract will be gone. There's a lot of expiring money, and the Yankees could load up on a guy like Bryce Harper, and that is the belief.
I'll let you go off that. Really interesting stuff today. I appreciate it as always. Thanks.
Brad, always a pleasure.
You got it. There's Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball insider and analyst. Always good to catch up with Pedro. Every week we talk baseball with Pedro Gomez. Randy Johnson is next. So he's having a street named after him tomorrow. And I've chatted with him a few times about coming on. I want to talk to him about Shelby Miller and what he sees, Zach Greinke, what he sees. And, you know, this overall depth of this rotation, I asked Pedro about it. You know, is it comparable? And some other things with Randy Johnson, that's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. So the Diamondbacks are going for the clean sweep in Colorado tomorrow night. They're back home. This is a cool little event in some people's minds. My mind, it's a big deal. Randy Johnson Way is going to be debut tomorrow. I mean, having a street is one thing. If you're a Hall of Fame baseball pitcher and it's post-career, they do things like statues and names of highways, and that's great. I saw Randy at spring training. I saw him at a Diamondbacks event back in January and said, it'd be great to catch up with you. And I was seeing his Instagram, and it's terrific because he has transitioned seamlessly in some people's minds. As long as I've known Randy, and I won't say I know him inside now, but when I covered him, photography was always something that he was interested in all the way back to his days at USC. RJ51photos.com is the site. That is a long-winded buildup to have Randy Johnson, the Hall of Famer, with us on the show. How are you?
Brad, so nice to hear from you again.
Good to hear from you, RJ. It's been a while. So a street being named after you. This is...
My goodness, what the heck's going on?
I know, right?
What is that? And what does that exactly mean? I mean, I've been so humbled and honored and bestowed last year a lot of very cool things, and one of them was getting the key to the city from the mayor. And but I found out it didn't open anything or start anything. So I'm wondering, what does it mean having the street, which is probably, I've given up home runs longer than the street distance is going to be. But I'm just so honored, and it's great to be a part of the Diamondbacks. I took some time away from the game after it being such a big part of my life. 4 years in the minor leagues, and then 22 years in the major leagues. 26 years of professional baseball. I just needed a little break, and last year, before I got inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame representing the Diamondbacks, I slowly transitioned back into going to some spring training games, went to Reno to watch the Diamondbacks AAA affiliate, went and spent some time with my old catcher, Robbie Hammock, who's the manager in Mobile, Alabama, and yep. Spent 3 days there watching and talking to some of the young pitchers there. And this year, I am planning on doing some of those same types of visits, along with going and being seen at the stadium. But what I really enjoy doing is trying to be hands-on. I was there quite a bit of time spent at the spring training site for the Diamondbacks, and the time that I most enjoyed was where most people don't go down, and that's down at the minor league side, and watching the young kids throw, and being inquisitive and asking them questions and talking to them a little bit, and just trying to be insightful and helping them in any way I can. I think that the game has been very great to me, and people have helped me along the way, and almost feel it's part of your responsibility in some small way to give back. And I guess the biggest thing is finding those people that want that information and have an open ear. That's not always the case with everybody. But if you're there and make yourself available, there surely was kids that came up and had questions. And I think that makes it rewarding for me to be there.
Hall of Famer Randy Johnson with us. Let me clear some things up with you. You shot the cover of the Rush CD, right?
How cool is that?
Yeah. No, you're so you did that. You're going to shoot Billy Joel in the coming month. Is that right? I've got here my show notes.
It's next week.
Okay.
Billy Joel is playing a few concerts in baseball stadiums, and he'll be playing up in Seattle next Friday on the 20th at Safeco Field.
Mm-hmm.
So I was granted access and looking forward to working with their PR and management, and hopefully take some amazing pictures, and hopefully they'll use them in some capacity. And I've already talked to management with him, and looking forward to getting up there and hopefully even meeting Billy Joel, the piano man, and it should be a lot of fun going back to an old stomping ground as well.
How do you, if you don't want to get into it, it's fine, but how do you come across these types of gigs?
Well, a lot of musicians I know just from over time, and believe it or not, I've known Geddy Lee since 1990. I met him initially. 90 was my first All-Star appearance at Wrigley Field when I was with the Seattle Mariners, and they have a big gala event the day before the All-Star game, and I was there with Mark McGwire, a former teammate of mine at USC College.
Right.
So he kind of took me under his wing because he had already been in a few All-Star games, so we were just kind of hanging out and being the music lover that I am. And especially Rush, recognized him walking around, and I didn't know at that time, obviously, that he was a real baseball enthusiast, knew a lot of the history, has a vast baseball collection. So we talked a little bit there and told him that I was a fan, and he was a fan of the game, and we hit it off pretty well, stayed in touch, and There was within the coming years or that coming year, you know, living up in Seattle, they performed up there, got a hold of them, and then we just you know, had a friendship. And then there was times when I was with Seattle where I would fly after a game that I would pitch, and I remember vividly, and we actually, me and Getty, did a interview for ESPN. Mm-hmm. I think it was 30 on 30. It was the subject was about my photography, and so they interviewed him while I was on the road with Rush last year. And I remember I was pitching a day game in Detroit, and they were playing in St. Louis that evening. And so I wanted to go to the show, and he says, well, yeah, come out if you can make it. And so I said, well, I'll just pitch a really fast game. And in that interview that ESPN did, they found the game that I pitched. And ironically enough, it was like a no-hitter until like the sixth or seventh inning that got broke up. And so it was just kind of funny. I grabbed a cab or a car and got to the airport and got to the show, enjoyed the show. And the next day, the Mariners were up in Toronto with an off day, and so you know, had plenty of time to get up where I needed to be. And they have been really gracious in allowing me the access. Last year, I went on the road with them for five shows, and took a lot of photographs and worked with their PR department. And you know, they were telling me that inevitably they were going to be doing a DVD of the show that they were performing up in Toronto, where they played two nights.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, you know, keep your eye open for, you know, a picture that we could use that might be the cover of the DVD. So when I heard about that, that's really got me pretty excited. And so was really looking through a lot of the pictures that I took. And when I heard that, while I was on the road, really started to try to take pictures accordingly, and you know, got lucky enough in the approval from all three band members that they liked the picture. It worked, and now it graces the cover of what could be, you know, the last major project they do, because as of now, they're not touring anymore.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. Randy Johnson with us, the Hall of Famer. RJ51photos.com if you want to see a lot of his work, and also on Instagram, RJ51photos. As well, tomorrow, Randy Johnson Way at 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Fans, if you want to get down there, 4th Street between Jefferson and Jackson, and they're going to take street cleaners over it or something. I don't know. It's like Randy said off the top. You know, who knows?
Actually, you know, I'll probably be the one driving the street cleaner.
Right. What's on your bucket list then in terms of things you want to shoot? And I want to move over to some baseball stuff, but what is on your bucket list? I mean, the cover of a CD for a band like Rush, that's one thing, but what are some things you still want to accomplish in that field?
Well, you know, I naturally started my photography way back, heck, probably 30 years ago in college. A lot of people that are following me now on Instagram, you know, will stumble upon my account. And they are thinking, wow, he's now into photography after he's retired. Well, actually, you know, I studied photojournalism back
right. In
83, 84, 85. And, you know, I was studying photography, taking photographs longer than before I was even playing professional baseball. I just didn't have the ability nor the time when I was playing baseball as much as I do now. I have a lot of freedom. And since I've played baseball, the door is open for me. I've made a lot of friendships with motorsport, you know, race car drivers,
yep,
musicians. And so the door is open that has allowed me to do these events. And I enjoy doing them and work with these various people when I'm working for them. And I now am naturally kind of gravitating towards things that really interest me. And that has been since I've retired, since 2009, is traveling the world and seeing other people, how other people live, where they live, and things that I've only heard about. And some of my trips and adventures have been amazing. I've been to Africa a couple of times on a couple of different safaris. I've been to Turkey, and last year, I traveled to London, Venice, Florence, and Prague and Paris, and just really capturing images and sharing some of those on my Instagram account and on my my website.
Right.
And what I would really like to do is just continue doing that. I have little trips planned here and there. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was in Long Beach shooting the Long Beach Grand Prix. Next week, I'll be at the Billy Joel concert. And then between after the Billy Joel concert and between my next big trip, which is in August, you know, lots of baseball. But my next big trip, travel trip, will be going to Ethiopia and Kenya. I've been to Kenya on two other occasions, but I'm going at this time of the year in August because it's the time when the migration's happening, and that's really when I what I want to focus on. And then from there, I'll take a plane over to Ethiopia and go into the Omo Valley, and I've been doing a lot of research on that, and that will be an amazing, amazing trip, and hopefully an amazing experience where I'm going into these little villages with people still practicing what we have come accustomed to seeing with the women with the plates on their lips and the rings around their neck and just capturing images that, you know, it's exciting, as exciting for me, capturing a moment like that as any baseball game I've ever pitched. Because I can share it with people as I did with my baseball, and I'm capturing a moment in time, much like baseball.
That's really, really interesting. It's hard for me to then transition from that over to talking baseball, but we have a few minutes left. And again, tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock, Randy Johnson Way down at the ballpark. What have you seen out of Zach Greinke so far, Randy?
Well, I know the team got off to a slow start, and I've talked to various people about that with the Diamondbacks. But I also knew that, you know, it's a long season. There's no way that talent won't rise to the top. And after being in spring training, essentially from the start to end, I saw a lot of talent there. And a lot of talent that's played together, so they know one another. They know how to play with one another there. They know what everybody's capable of doing, and then you know, you go out and get the acquisitions of Greinke and Shelby Miller that really bolstered your rotation. And I think it was just a matter of time. And you're seeing, you know, despite this road trip, they got swept in Miami, but then they I believe they swept the Atlanta Braves, and they're going for the sweep in Colorado tonight. It's not shocking to see how things are starting to pan out. And I think it will all start with the pitching, and their pitching is way too good. That rotation, top to bottom, is the best rotation, probably, 1 through 5, that the Diamondbacks may have ever had in some time. They're all extremely talented, and you know what you're going to get from all of them, and it was just a matter of time. And Greinke himself, you know, I think, you know, a lot of eyes are on him naturally, and I think that, you know, he's starting to settle in. It's a long season, and I think we're starting to now see what he's capable of doing. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he rattles off, you know, several more wins before he has his next, you know, bad game, if you will. I think a lot's counted on him as any ace of the staff.
Right.
There's a trickle-down effect. And I think he understands that. I've talked to him a few times. Very intelligent pitcher. But every fifth day, there's a pitcher out there that brings something unique and a different style of pitching. And so that's what's fun about watching this rotation.
Shelby Miller, Dave Stewart was quoted a couple weeks ago that he may have been trying to do too much. Did you see that in him? I know he got the win over the weekend and got that monkey off his back. But what about Shelby so far?
Well, Shelby, you know, when he was with Atlanta and when he was with St. Louis, you know, I actually talked to Shelby, must have been about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, after his San Francisco start when they came back home, and we had talked briefly in the clubhouse, and he felt it was more mechanical stuff that, you know, he was being inconsistent with, and you know, I just tried to do what I do and throw out some suggestions and, you know, go look at a good pitching performance when you're with St. Louis or Atlanta and put it on a split screen and compare those mechanics to what you're doing now and try and find things. And I think they, you know, have kind of addressed all that. And I think, once again, he might be trying to do too much as well. And I think, naturally, you try to do that. You want to take the whole franchise on your shoulder and be that person. And it's easier said than done to not try to do that. Just go out and have fun and you know, but when things, and I speak from experience, and over 22 years, I've been on both sides of the track where you struggle and then you're out there and you feel really good. And then all of a sudden something happens in the game and all of a sudden it appears like, oh, here we go again. The wheels are starting to fall off. And I think all these pitchers and the whole team itself just needed to get on a little win streak, and that's what they're doing now. Mm-hmm. And I think they're starting to flow. And I think what we're seeing now is what a lot of people saw in spring training, and the talent is starting to come rise to the top. And this team inevitably will be there in the end because they're too good to not be.
Last question. I appreciate your time. And again, tomorrow it's at 5 o'clock, Randy Johnson Way. Randy, when you mentioned something earlier, and that is that this pitching rotation could be the best that the organization has had. Am I right? That's what you referred to earlier in our conversation.
Well, sure. I mean, just from top to bottom.
Top to bottom.
You send five pitchers out there every day. There's not a lot of rotations in baseball where you can send out. You know, I mean, look what we're talking about. You know. Greinke and Shelby and Corbin and De La Rosa and Archie Bradley here, and then Robbie Ray, and these are all you got veterans at the top, and you have in the middle Patrick Corbin that's recovering from two Tommy Johns, and he's really the diamond in the rough because he hasn't pitched that much, and I expect big things out of him, he, being left-handed, and he's so talented, and I saw him pitch quite a bit in spring training. And then Robbie Ray, I saw him when he was down in Reno last year, and, we talked a little bit, and De La Rosa is really starting to come into his own now, his last few performances. And I think a lot of these people, a lot of these pitchers, the younger ones anyway, is the latter three out of the five, just need to trust their stuff. Mm-hmm. They need to have fun, trust their stuff, and they all know they can pitch at that level, but you need to go out and have a good game and then know you're capable of doing that. You're not going to do it all the time, but as soon as you have, that confidence, then you come to the ballpark every fifth day and the day you pitch, and it's going to be, an opportunity for you to go out there and give your team a chance to win because you're not overwhelmed about the situation. You know you can pitch there at that level and you can dominate at times, and that's the great thing that I'm seeing from them. They just need to be consistent doing it. You can't be out there for four innings and be taken out of the game because you're at your pitch limit, and then 5 days later be pitching seven innings and pitching great. There's,
sure.
There's some consistency that we need to see from the latter three as well. But all five are going to give us a chance to win, and that's what I'm excited about watching. I mean, pitching was my life. I enjoy watching young pitching. I see a lot of talented pitchers in baseball in general. But being more focused on this team and having been so close to them starting in spring training, I'm excited. I wish we could fast forward to at least the All-Star break now and see where this team's at in the NL West.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and your insight as always. Always good to catch up with you, Randy. Let's do it again down the road. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Brad.
Good visiting with you. There's Randy Johnson, Hall of Famer. RJ Photos, rj51photos.com, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. Thanks again to Randy Johnson. Good catching up with him. That event, again, is tomorrow for you Diamondback fans at 5 o'clock. Randy Johnson Way. Really interesting. Some of his comments about pitching and pitch counts and what he sees out of Shelby and Patrick Corbin. The Patrick Corbin stuff, Eric, wow. Just really going after it, I thought, was strong. You?
Yeah.
You're not even listening.
Well, I have two people talking to me, but yeah, I did like how Randy Johnson did go into Patrick Corbin, Robbie Ray, and how the Diamondbacks have top to bottom one of the best pitching staffs in baseball.
That was interesting to me. That was really interesting to me. You know, and he's not just going to say that for the sake of saying.
And I also liked how, and this is not breaking news, but how he took the time to see these guys in Reno and sort of like nurture them along the way. It's not just he's showing up at the ballpark and putting in some time. He made the rounds with Robbie Hammack, who's now a minor league manager, his former catcher, and it's good stuff.
There's a few other things today. This story caught my eye down in Texas, and it's a $63 million football stadium. Well, that's nothing new, but it's a high school stadium. This is a high school football stadium, $63 million. In our current climate here in Arizona, could you imagine with what all the outcry has been about the Diamondbacks and the Coyotes and Arizona State and everybody wanting a new stadium, if a high school came up and said, this is what we want? So this is voters that put this through. Voters in McKinney, Texas, have given the go-ahead to build a nearly $63 million high school football stadium. This is a suburban city north of Dallas. Down south, quoting here, down south, football is a really big deal, and playoff football is a really big deal, said Jennifer Gray, chairwoman of a Vote for McKinney's Future, a pro stadium group. 12,000-seat facility and attractive event center would be just the latest and growing list of supersized high school stadiums in Texas. So here's the thing here in Arizona. Eventually, something like this will happen. It won't be voted through. It'll be somebody that comes along with gobs of money who says, you know, I want my name on something. And it will happen in one of these football markets. It may have to happen through a district. I don't know if the Chandler Unified School District and Camille, because Dr. Castile could put something through like this. I don't know if a guy like Doug Fournier over Gilbert Christian could put something through like this. I don't know if somebody at Chaparral High School or Saguaro, or what, but you know, in the case of Saguaro and Chaparral, it's always, correct me on this, Eric, if I'm wrong, Saguaro's always had the underdog. We don't have everything that they have over at Chaparral.
True.
Right? And then I've had the people at Chaparral through the years. There's some very nice people there, but they always seem to want to call for us to do things when they are building big new palatial field houses. And I always have to tell them, well, you know, when you build something for Carl Hayden High School, maybe then I'll be more interested. So, but eventually somebody is going to do this. We have had a need here in Arizona. We actually have had a need for somebody to come along and build about a 12 to 15,000 seat facility that could house sports. When they do it over at University of Phoenix Stadium, the football finals over there, it's like, I don't know, family and friends. It just doesn't look good. It's not a great look. When it was at Sun Devil Stadium, it was the same way. And I know that what's going on in our marketplace right now, the pro soccer franchise here is trying to build their own little 12, 15,000 seat stadium to attract the MLS. I don't know if that would be in Kyle Ling's plans or not. I know that up over in Mesa that they're talking about building a field house and several facilities, soccer facilities. Think about it. If we had a facility that had 12 to 15,000, kind of like what GCU has done. But here in Texas, man, they just say, or down in Texas, they just say, hey, look, here's the deal. $62 million, we're getting it done. We're building it. So that story caught my eye. And in the last hour, the New York Times has put it up as one of their big stories of the day. That's right. $63 million for football stadium, .. for high schoolers. So this is going to attract attention nationally and people will be talking about it. Dwight Howard last night, it was almost like Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith had an intervention. Dwight Howard is turned into somebody that's not very likable and doesn't look like he's always trying his hardest. And he's on his third team, gone from Orlando to the Lakers to Houston, probably going to end up on his fourth team the way things are going. This caught my eye last night, this bit of an exchange.
I would say people see me and they've seen the success I've had in Orlando and they see me now and they're probably like, man, what's the difference? And I think I was very likable in Orlando. And the way that situation ended, you know, I think people felt as though, you know, I'm just this bad guy. You know, I'm all about myself. I'm a diva. I'm stuck on being Dwight Howard, this famous basketball player. You know, so a lot of people say, you know what, we don't like this guy. You know, and I hear that a lot. And, you know, it really hurts me because, you know, my heart and my attitude towards the game has always been the same, you know, and my drive has always been there. Because I never forget the day I came in here and you told me I wasn't going to be good in the NBA. And I never forget the day that Magic Johnson said I wasn't going to make it to the NBA when I was in the 10th grade. And that stuff drives me every day to want to be one of the greatest players to play the game.
Okay, and what you didn't see there was Charles getting very direct with him, which is good. It's actually great when you see people be direct rather than dance around and all the political BS and PR weasels off to the side, making sure everything is messaged the right way. Let's just get real on this stuff. You know, let's not sit here and sugarcoat it. And in his case, we'll see if anything comes about it. But I thought it was very compelling last night to see somebody finally put on the spot and say, you know what? You're not really that well liked. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now. High school, college, pro. Things around Arizona that we see a little different than what else is out there. And our little staff, we get it done day in and day out. Very proud of what we do here. It's coming up on year number 5. And we're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. You can check it out. Our TV show airs on Fox Sports Arizona tonight. Several airings. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. That is tonight. This afternoon at 5, following the Diamondbacks re-air tonight at like 10, 10:30, something like that. Late at night and tomorrow morning as well. And we'll see you later. Thanks for being with us.